This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Who brings infant John to the temple reminds us of the importance of our faith community to sustaining the way of love. Just as the community did for John's family, communities provide a place for discernment, sometimes challenging us, and other times affirming us. Communities also celebrate and mark important moments along the journey. Think about your wedding day, your confirmation, communion, baptism if you were old enough when that happened. If not, talk to somebody who was there and does remember it. Remember deaths and funerals of those you loved. We need those memories. Which brings me, no surprise, to those who know me, to the fact that I actually asked Father Marty if I could preach this morning to celebrate the 6th anniversary of my priestly ordination on December 10th, 2015. Thank you. Yeah, most priests wait at least until the 10th to celebrate, but, you know, every day is a precious day. And I was a little older than most priests when I was ordained, so who knows? I'll spare you the details, but I'll tell you this. My ordination was a great blessing I never expected or sought, and yet, as Thomas Merton said of his ordination, it was the one great secret for which I was born. But it would not have happened without the support of the community of St. Joseph's. Rev. Wendy, Father Marty, Dee, all of you who kept telling me to persevere in the process and assured me of prayers, and of course, my family. We have been experiencing rough times these past 2 years, a deadly virus and a precarious economy, wars and rumors of war, suffering, loss, uncertainty, and the state of our beautiful and broken world. Zephaniah's people were in a similar state, but in one of the first readings that I really encourage you to look up if you get a chance sometime this week, because they're beautiful readings. I mean, you brood of vipers, that wasn't good news. But the first point that I'll mention again later, not too much later, but for now, just know that Zephaniah said, rejoice and exult with all our heart. He offers a glimpse of a very hopeful future. Isaiah reminds us of the way God has delivered us and will continue to deliver us. He invites us to shout aloud and sing for joy because we shall draw water with rejoicing from the springs of salvation. And St. Paul, who, by the way, was in house arrest in Rome at the time, strongly urges us to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. The problem is, as our prayer said, that in our minds, joy tends to overlap with happiness. Happiness is often connected with what is happening to us and around us. Happiness often lasts for just a season. When we are discouraged and afraid or grieving, rejoicing in the Lord can be a hard sell. But the truth is that joy is not usually inspired by happy circumstances. Poet and author David White writes, and I quote, "To feel a full and untrammeled joy is to have become fully ourselves. To be joyful is to have walked through the doorway of fear. And joy, unlike happiness, lasts, no matter what the challenges." Paul, under arrest, still could say rejoice. Well, he rejoiced because he looked forward to the Lord's coming, but also because he knew that the Lord was always near. Paul carried the joy of Advent with him wherever he went. And Advent is not only a season for waiting, it is also a time of joyful waiting for the coming of the Lord. It's not everyone who gets the rector of the parish to help them out at various times. This is not only a season for waiting, But it's a season for waiting in joy for the coming of the Lord, for the fulfillment of God's promised restoration, for the peace that overcomes all violence, and for that perfect love that casts out fear. John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way for Jesus. He was sent into difficult, complicated times, times like we are experiencing now. And his message was simple. Repent. Turn your lives around. Turn back to God. For John, repentance was not about beating ourselves up for things done or left undone, but to repent meant total transformation, transformation that bears fruit. But John doesn't ask the people to change the world, but only to change themselves. He doesn't tell them to leave their lives and stay with him or start a revolution. He tells them to consider sharing what they have with the cold and the hungry. He told the tax collectors to be honest and fair. He cautioned the soldiers to act with integrity, avoiding abuse of their power. Go home, John told them. Go home to your families, your neighbors, your vocations, your friends. Go home and live your lives as deeply and as generously as you can right now. Do what the Lord requires of you, and do it now. Be generous now. Be merciful now. Do justice now. It was John's great joy to always be pointing to Jesus. Today, it is our great joy to be waiting for the coming of Jesus. On this Gaudete Sunday, the Sunday of joy, as we wait and prepare, we are also answering the call to rejoice. The coming of the Messiah and the gospel of Jesus Christ are the good news the angel will speak of when appearing to the shepherds. I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. This brings us hope, even amid our struggles, so that when the Christ child arrives at the manger, we can rejoice and sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." For now we pray, "Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us." Amen.